T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Since the last time we've had you on, there have been a lot of changes in that front office. Chris Wallace has been reassigned. John Hollinger has been reassigned. Lots of changes in the front office. From your vantage point, what do you make of the moves that the Grizzlies made last month?
I think they were necessary. I think, you know, when you look at what this front office did, they held on to a notion that this team could remain competitive far, far too long. They didn't get the return on Marc Gasol that they really should have gotten based upon the fact they held him a year too long with a kind of a foolish notion that somehow they could continue to compete. And listen, you do have concern that maybe they've done the same type of thing here regarding Mike Conley. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I still think Mike Conley will have a lot of value in this offseason, but I think you got to trade Mike Conley and go younger and make this full commit to the rebuild. Once you trade Gasol, you kind of went down that road already. So I think for the Grizzlies here, having, you know, what happens sometimes is this, guys. When you have a regime that's in place, as long as the Wallace and Hollinger regime mm-hmm. has been in place, they kind of end up making decisions that, you know, almost try to undo their own mistakes as opposed to a fresh set of eyes that come in and kind of clean slate it all and can say, hey, we don't have any baggage or any history with having run this organization. Therefore, we can look at this thing completely objectively from the jump. And I think that's the benefit that you get. And I particularly like Rich Cho being involved. I think Rich is a very bright guy. I think he made some mistakes in Charlotte in terms of some of the contracts he signed, but he's a guy that really does know what he's doing. And I think for the Grizzlies, having a guy with some experience and some fresh eyes there, I think is going to make a major, major difference.
Yeah. Any familiarity at all with Zach Kleiman, who was promoted to, you know, basically, you know, VP of basketball over there? Any sort of familiarity or knowledge of him at all?
I don't know a lot about Zach, but I know he's got a very good reputation. So from that standpoint, and you kind of see what happens. But again, even with Zach, you know, it's in terms of running his own organization, the experience is not there. But for Rich Cho, it is. And that's why, yes, Zach Kleiman's in charge, but I keep going back to Rich Cho's presence and all this, because to me, that's what I think is the most important thing in what they did with this overhaul. Listen, when they brought John Hollinger in, this was a number cruncher who was a writer. This was a guy who had his own ideas about analytics, but by the same token, had never been in this kind of position before. And although there were some good decisions that were made, one of them wasn't deciding to go on the practice court and preach analytics to players during one of Lionel Hollinger's practices. So, I mean, it's, you know, Hollinger definitely lacks some experience in all this, and I do think having Cho in here, when, and not that I'm comparing Kleiman to Hollinger at all, I'm not doing that, because Kleiman's had some experience, but not necessarily running an organization on his own. I think Cho is the right guy to be that lieutenant to him.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you completely on that. Why isn't the process working in Philly, Brian? And can it work when, as you point out, you know, last night, you know, Simmons obviously is not 100%. I mean, excuse me, Embiid's not 100%, but they're combining for 13 turnovers. It's looking like a miss. Jimmy's trying to pull them, but it's not working. Can the process still work? Can it be like this going forward? You bring Jimmy back and this thing actually succeed, or do you have to break it up?
Well, I don't know. Listen, breaking it up's a tough proposition when you look at what you gave up. I mean, think about everything that went out in the Tobias Harris trade. Mm-hmm. Think about Saric and Covington, you know, who are two good young players going out in the Butler deal. So I think you want, if ideally, you want to keep this foursome together of Embiid, Simmons, Butler, and Harris. And the owner, Josh Harris, has already said he would go into the luxury tax to do that, which is an important step. So to me, that's their first choice. I don't know that I'm going to say that the process isn't working. The Sixers have had a Joel Embiid conundrum him since the day they drafted him. The reality is this. All the ability in the world has the potential to be an all-time great center. I mean, that potential is there. That ability is there. However, he's also a guy that is in love with being a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And he's not necessarily the best listener when it comes to listening to what they want him to do in certain spots. Listen, they didn't want him to play in the All-Star game. They knew the knee was bad. He didn't care. This is about him and his celebrity to him. And now you have a situation where he spent a large majority of this series sick, and it's pretty well widely known around the league that Embiid is a party guy. He doesn't always take care of his body all that well and loves to be seen on stage with Meek Mill, etc. You know, that's he loves that stuff. But here in this time of year, you know, there was a reason, guys, that LeBron James, after 2011, went dark on social media every year in the playoffs. He got himself laser focused. I don't know that Joel Embiid is there mentally and there emotionally to be laser focused like that. As far as Ben Simmons is concerned, he's got some holes in his game, but he's got a whole ton of ability. And I don't know that listen, the 13 turnovers is an absolute dumpster fire for them in that caliber of a game and that kind of important game. But he's beating up Simmons on his numbers here isn't fair either. They have absolutely compromised his position in this offense, and it's the right thing to do. Don't get me wrong. They've made him a glorified Draymond Green, and it's a role he hasn't played all year, and he's had to adjust in the fly. Listen, I think Brett Brown's doing the right thing. Don't get me wrong. But for Simmons' development, it's tough. So, hey, listen, this team, people anointed this team sooner than they should. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily ready to be there, be where they are, even though Elton Brand believed that. They're going to go out in the second round for the second year in a row, and then they got to do some major retooling here. But the concern for Sixer fans is you gutted yourself of a whole lot of assets to make this run, and it wasn't for a second-round exit.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Geldzahler, founder of HoopsCritic.com, on Twitter, at HoopsCritic. You know, while we're on the subject of Joel Embiid, you wrote 4 years ago about sort of his accountability and his responsibility, or maybe lack thereof, when it comes to his diet. Like, you told a great story over at SI about how the 76ers would basically have to check behind him in his hotel room about whether he was eating fruits and vegetables, and they would often find that he was not, and he was ordering junk food and drinking Shirley Temple all the time. Has he matured since then? I mean, what's sort of your understanding there?
Well, he has matured, but again, it's not from he can get himself in great shape. We've seen him that way. It's what's happened to him is when he started sitting out with the knee injury, his conditioning kind of unwound a little bit on him, and Joel Embiid thinks he is Superman. And in some cases, that's fantastic. In other cases, it's just not, because he forgets that he got to this point because he put work in. Listen, the first year rehabbing, he was a very difficult guy for the Sixers with rehabbing. Year two, he got a little bit better. But I think, you know, having everything occur, and really, I know that Joel was very upset with the story that I wrote. And when I tried to have a conversation with him a year and a half ago and discuss it with him and hash it out a little bit, I was pretty much cast aside, and he walked by me. But I also do know that was a little bit of a turning point for him as well. I mean, he had said in an interview later he almost quit the game and then decided to roll up his sleeves and dive in and work as hard as he could work after reading all those things that were written about him. And so he's turned it around to a certain extent, but again, he still does not command the attention, or I should say that the Sixers front office doesn't command his attention. They try to talk to him. They try to get him to do things for the good of the team. Joel doesn't want to necessarily do that. And yes, he wants to win, but he wants to be a celebrity more right now. And the thing is, his maturation process has to come along further. He really does. And I know the Sixers believe this about him, that they feel like they have a relatively short window with him because of the fact that at one point or another, they believe he's going to get hurt again, and it's going to be a major injury, and it may be a career-altering type of thing, because that's what history's taught them with Embiid, with the difficulty in staying healthy. That's the reason they went all in right now. So, yes, has he matured? He's matured some, but has he matured enough to do what he needs to do to be, you know, one of the best players in the game and be a guy that can carry the Sixers into the NBA Finals? I'm not sure he's there yet.
What about Boston? Are they better off without Kyrie and building around Tatum? What do you think happens there?
I think Boston made some major mistakes here. First of all, this, and I don't blame Danny Ainge for this, because all of us would have made the Kyrie Irving trade. Mm-hmm. And in the end, what did he really give up for Kyrie Irving? A draft pick that drafted Colin Sexton.
That's
Isaiah
good point.
Thomas flamed out.
Yeah.
Okay, the Cavs moved on from Jay Crowder. There was nothing there of any value. So he did what he had to do, but I think he also underestimated how Kyrie's moodiness would affect this team from a leadership standpoint. Kyrie's tough, man. Kyrie will come in for weeks at a time and not want to talk to anybody and walk in the next day and be the most, you know, affable guy in the world. Yeah. It's those swings are very hard for guys to deal with. The other thing that they did is, listen, Brad Stevens has his favorites, and that created a major problem this year with this team. They anointed Jason Tatum as the greatest thing since sliced bread way too early. And what happened, you look at this, funny, and what they do on the basis of last year's playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Guys, go dig deep into the numbers, and what you'll see is Jaylen Brown was a better playoff player than Jason Tatum last year. He was. You know, Tatum shot 32% from three in the playoffs last year on 120 attempts. Jaylen Brown shot 39% from three on 75 attempts. He's a better defensive player. So what happened this year? Tatum was given a default starting spot, and Brown was pushed to the bench and had a guy like Hayward and guys like Smart, who are favorites of Brad Stevens, playing in front of him. And it took a Marcus Smart injury for Jaylen Brown to get in the starting lineup and play the minutes that he's been entitled and deserved to play this whole season. That, and listen, Stevens got to it. He got to it late. But that's kind of underscored a culture that's created a whole lot of selfishness with this team. And Brad Stevens has had his worst year as a head coach the year that he's had the most talent. So I think for them, listen, moving on from Kyrie will certainly help. And I think that even though they're not going to get any value for him, he's going to be a free agent. I do think it's going to be best for both sides if Kyrie Irving moves on. The interesting part's going to be Tatum, because they're major players for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And it's going to require Tatum and maybe Brown to go as well. But it will be interesting to see if they do something with Tatum and maybe are able to throw enough assets behind Tatum in a deal. Keep in mind, they got a lot of first-round draft picks here. So they got Sacramento's. They have the Clippers. They have their own. So they got a bunch of first-round draft picks this year, and they certainly could probably do something with New Orleans to get Anthony Davis on draft night. You know, because keep in mind, they can make a draft night trade that's retroactive to July 1st mm-hmm. and allows New Orleans to step in and make those, but Boston to make those picks on behalf of New Orleans. So I'd keep a very close eye there, but make no bones about it. If trading Jason Tatum can get them Anthony Davis, they'll trade Jason Tatum in a heartbeat.
And to your point, they can still get the Grizzlies' first-round pick, too, should that thing fall, to your point.
Correct. They have the Grizzlies as well.
On to the other half of the game tonight, Houston Golden State series tied at 2-2. Are we witnessing the end? Is this the end of the Warriors dynasty? Obviously, all the sort of rumblings about what Kevin Durant is going to do in the offseason, the series is tied. Do you think we're witnessing the end right here, or do you think they make it through this series?
I will tell you, I picked Houston before the series began. I'm going to stay with Houston. So I will say, I do think we're witnessing the end. I feel like, and you watch the Warriors play, forget about defense for a minute, which we'll get to, but you watch the Warriors play offensively, this looks like a very different team. It's not the equal opportunity offense it once was. And they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, because Kevin Durant's gone rogue, and he's been awesome going rogue.
Yep.
So what do you do, right? I mean, Durant's dominating all of it. Listen, Curry will find his spots. That's the kind of player he is. He's going to get his threes off. He has the ball in his hands enough. But all of this has compromised Klay Thompson very badly offensively. And it wouldn't surprise me tonight at all to see this game start and Steve Kerr try to use an old Mark Jackson trick. He used it a little bit in the beginning of game four. He needs to use it a lot more, which is put Klay Thompson down on the block and feed him the ball. Run some double screens for Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. Try to get him looks on the wing from three. Run sets for Klay Thompson. You have to get him going. One of the things the Rockets have been able to benefit from in this series is not having to worry about Klay. They really haven't. He hasn't been a factor or a major factor offensively, even a little bit. And listen, I think for the Warriors defensively, a very good thing happened to them at the end of the Clippers series. Draymond Green started playing like we've seen Draymond Green play in playoff situations. Finally got himself in the right condition. He's been clear-headed. He has been, you know, even-tempered for the most part, and he is their heartbeat defensively. Mm-hmm. With that said, you know, it's been tough for them. Here's the thing about the Rockets, all right? So when you look at the Rockets, when they're going to play tons and tons and tons of ISO ball, they're going to be easy to defend. Where they've had success in this series is using ball screens a lot more effectively. Capella screening for them is the whole key to their offense. Because once you see Capella on screen and roll and having to go down the middle of the floor and they have those lobs available to Capella, if Golden State wants to defend that stuff, they got to bring help from the weak side. That's going to open up the weak side for shooters like Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, one of the better corner three guys in the league. We talk about his defense and his rebound. rebounding all the time. He's one of the better corner three guys, only over 40% from the corner. So that opens up the weak side for them. They started doing a bunch of that. And it's interesting because in game three, they were ahead. And in the last 5 minutes, they went strictly ISO. Game ended up going in overtime, and their offense was awful. So, you know, as much as we talk about James Harden and his heroics, they have to help him on the ball. Yeah. They did a lot more of that in game four. Still, listen, they were a Durant missed three and a Curry missed three away from potentially not winning that game. But nonetheless, they were able to pull it out. I still like what I see out of the Rockets. The problem with the Warriors here more than anything else is fatigue and depth. There's just not a lot of depth here. They got six playable guys. Sean Livingston's not playable anymore. They can go to their bench at one guy, and it's Kamon Looney. Yeah. And I do think at a certain point in time, that wears them down.
Brian, I got one more for you. How dangerous to the Lakers' recruiting efforts this offseason are the Clippers, who just right now appear to be the better run organization? Forget appear to be, they are. How much of a threat are the Clippers to the Lakers?
Yeah, the Clippers are a threat to everybody. The Clippers, listen, the Knicks think they're getting Kevin Durant. The Clippers are in the mix.
Yeah.
Toronto is dying to keep Kawhi Leonard and doing everything they can to. The Clippers are their main threat. Mm-hmm. The Clippers, and listen, for the Warriors as well, if the Warriors decide they want to get cute with Klay Thompson, the Clippers are waiting there in the mm-hmm. wings. The Clippers are a threat to everybody. But regarding the Lakers, listen, the Lakers are a wounded animal right now.
It looks like it.
Okay, think about this for the Lakers. They have LeBron James. They have a lottery pick. They have a really good stable of young players in Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, Josh Hart, etc.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And they have all this cap space. Monty Williams just chose the Phoenix Suns yeah. over the Lakers shop. Don't, guys, make no mistake about it. They didn't choose Ty Lue over Monty Williams. That choice was made for them.
Right.
Because the reality is if they had done that, they would have hired Ty Lue already.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is Monty Williams looked at the Phoenix situation, looked at the Lakers situation and said, what the heck do I need this headache after what Luke Walton just went through?
It's
Who
bad.
Needs the aggravation? Coaching LeBron James is one of the toughest jobs in sports. I like to make this joke, guys. Coaching LeBron James is like me trying to pick where we're going to dinner with my wife. I'll say to her, listen, honey, where do you want to go to dinner? She'll go, whatever you want. We can do whatever you want. I'm like, all right, let's go over here. No, I don't want to go there. You know?
So, I know that one.
That's what coaching LeBron James is. That's exactly what it is.
Well done.
So Monty Williams recognized that. So they're right now, they're hiring Ty Lue because they don't have any other choice. Mm. So for the Lakers right now, it's really a very tough situation. Here's the other thing. This Magic Johnson thing is not going away. And here's what I mean by that. So, all right, Magic resigned somewhat abruptly, and it was really, as much as people said it was about Luke Walton, it wasn't. It was about Rob Pelinka, and Rob Pelinka trashing Magic to Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
Well, Jeannie and Magic clear the air. They're putting pictures on social media.
Right.
Magic saying he's going to help with recruiting, but he still wants to be able to tweet about other players. When at some point, if he's going to still be connected to the Lakers in this way, is this tampering? Like, the lines are getting very blurred with Magic's involvement in the Lakers and what he wants to do in the league, but the Lakers won't cut that cord. This is a billion-dollar business that's run as a mom-and-pop shop, and when I look at who the intellectual talent that was willing to make themselves available for the Laker president job, guys who were in jobs, who were some of the top executives in the league, were ready to leave where they were and go to the Lakers because they were able to obviously get big raises, but because they felt like that was a situation where they could make it run. And listen, you had David Griffin available.
Yep.
Okay, but Jeannie Buss wouldn't do it. She stuck with Kobe's guy. That's what she did. And until the Lakers have a little bit of a vision of where they want this organization to go and stop with this Laker family nonsense, I think we're going to see just a major continuation of dysfunction.
Brian, you're the best, man.
Love
we
your
always
stuff.
Appreciate it,
Thank
man.
You for
Thank
this,
you
sir.
For the time.
Guys, my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Take
yes,
care.
Sir. He is Brian Geltzeiler, founder of Hoops Critic, does Sirius XM NBA Radio. Always do appreciate his time.
Coming up next on The Six.
What do you make of Embiid? I mean, do you think it's just literally physical illness? Or, I mean, you know, we're not there, so we don't know. It's also Mark a little bit, though. You got to give him, if we're killing him for game three, you got to give him some credit for everything other than game three.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Trey Wingo. You're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Coming up Thursday is your safest bet in the NBA playoffs to just take the teams with the best record on the road. We'll recap Rockets, Warriors, and Bucks, Celtics. Golic and Wingo Thursday.
Golic and Wingo. Weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on Memphis' sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN. Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
Come on. Are you catching all your favorite sports games at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica this season? Visit the Sportsbook Lounge at Sam's Town and enjoy the full sports betting experience. There's plenty of seats, plenty of screens, and plenty of good company. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
Because it just feels right. Sam's Town Casino.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Memphis to Phoenix Mesa one way for as low as $80. Must be purchased by May 29, 2019 for travel between June 10, 2019 and August 12, 2019. Seats and dates are limited. Restrictions apply. See Allegiant.com for details.
Help Memphis high school and college students make a good impression by donating to the Pearls and Neckties Drive for the Employee Youth Summer Experience. Now through May 10th, drop off your new or gently used neckties and bow ties, as well as necklaces and earrings. Donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Memphis Offices of Youth Services at 315 South Hollywood or here at the radio station. For more information on the Pearls and Neckties Drive, visit cityofmemphisyouth.org.
Fix your cracked windshield with today's Perks Deal. $12 for $100 towards a windshield replacement or your insurance deductible from Cascade Auto Glass plus two free $25 restaurant gift cards. Cascade has been a leader in the windshield replacement business since 1993. Cascade's technicians are fully trained and will replace your windshield with an OEM quality windshield. They work with all insurance companies and will walk you through the claims process to make sure everything goes smoothly. Trust the windshield replacement specialists at Cascade today. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
It's the season for graduation and celebrations. It could be your turn next. Jump into your future this summer at Belhaven University. Finish your bachelor's degree, pursue your master's, or continue with a graduate certificate. You can fit a quality education into your busy schedule and your budget. Classes are forming now for May and June. There's never been a better time to enroll. Attend classes in Memphis, South Haven, or online. To discover more, visit memphis.belhaven.edu or call 901-896-0184. Trust your education to Belhaven University and let us help you today.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th, and Massage Envy is here to help. Whether she needs massage therapy, a facial, or skin care, we have it all. Four Memphis locations for convenience. It's simple and will take the stress away. Seriously, what mom wouldn't love a gift card from Massage Envy? Stop in any location in Collierville, Cordova, Germantown, or Midtown. They are ready to help you with a gift card that will make your mom feel spectacular. Call 854-8255 now or go to massageenvy.com. Relax. It's Massage Envy.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show. Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this song?
That's Get the Balance Right by Depeche Mode, a little early 80s synth pop. Not exactly a personal favorite of mine, but the title fits the, I think, the lesson from last night's Toronto-Philly game, where Toronto put all five scorers in double figures and got their balance right.
It is these series have been a reminder to maybe let series play out. We had, Paul Pierce declaring the Boston-Milwaukee series over after Boston throttled Milwaukee in game one. We had lots of people just crushing Marc Gasol and Toronto after Philly took the lead in game three, I guess that was. And, right. Of course, we had me, among other morons, saying that Houston was dead in the water after losing to Golden State. Yeah, I mean, this is it's been fun to watch, honestly. And it has been – people say the NBA is predictable. It has clearly not been predictable.
No, the second round's been really good. I'm sort of glad it looks like Milwaukee will probably go ahead and we'll see what happens tonight. But it seems likely Milwaukee will polish off Boston. I don't need – I want to see, some series going to seven, but I don't need four of them going to seven. I'm not really – my stamina is not what it used to be. And so I'll be happy to get one of these four series sort of off the table, and then hopefully the other three will be good. Hopefully we're headed to at least a couple of game sevens here. We'll see what happens. That would require Portland and Philly to sort of rally at home to force that. But I think there's a decent, both of them have a decent chance to do so.
Both of them have a decent chance. Yeah, what do you make of Embiid? I mean, do you think it's just literally physical illness? Or, I mean, we're not there, so we don't know. It's also it's also Mark a little bit, though. You got to give him, if we're killing him for Game 3, you got to give him some credit for everything other than Game 3.
Well, I mean, Mark has been an effective defender on Embiid to the degree that you can be an effective defender on Embiid before this playoff series.
Right.
And so that was sort of an expectation. That was probably, in some part, rationale for Toronto trading for him. You know, we may see, obviously they traded for him, they're trying to raise their ceiling in the playoffs, but part of that is we may face Philly in the playoffs, and Embiid is, you know, if not the best center in the league this year, one of the top two with Nikola Jokic. And so who's the best guy to defend that guy? And Marcus Hall might be the answer to that, or certainly one of them. And so I think it's been good defense, and I think it's been Embiid's own problems. I've been worried about Embiid just based on his knee problems. I just think he's too heavy right now. So even before some of the illness stuff popped up, I've been a little worried about his stamina. You know, him and me both, we're sort of linked together in terms of our stamina. I've been a little worried about Embiid being able to go all the way, to take Philly deep because of some of those issues. And so I don't doubt that he's dealing with all kinds of stuff physically. But, you know, he's been dealing with, the knee stuff has been going on all over the playoffs, and he still had the 30-point game or whatever it was, and game 3 or 4, whichever it was, in Philly. And so, but with a lot of these teams, a lot of it is who else can step up. And, like, we talked about Klay Thompson yesterday sort of being a disappointment. I mean, Ben Simmons, maybe he's the Eastern Conference version of Klay Thompson, a guy who's supposed to be a star, is really not playing like it.
No, in fact, I was going to bring him up next. Between them, 20 points and 13 turnovers from Embiid and Ben Simmons, and Embiid may have the respiratory ailment excuse. Ben Simmons has no such excuse. What do you think of Ben Simmons?
He is really, really talented, but he's such a specific kind of player. In some ways, it's like the much, much, much better, like Kyle Anderson, where like he's really talented, but it's such a unique skill set that it sort of has to. You can't just plug it in anywhere. He's not like, Kevin Durant. Well, Kevin Durant would be great anywhere. But even like a secondary kind of good player, he's not the kind of good player like Klay Thompson is, where you could really put him on any team and like it's great. It should be fine. Ben Simmons like is a big guy who needs the ball to be effective and can't shoot. And so like how do you maximize that, right? And I don't know that Philly. There's been questions all along about whether Simmons and Embiid are really a great fit together, right? Because Simmons would seem to be a guy who is best in an up-tempo system because he's deadly in transition and needs to be surrounded by shooters. And Joel Embiid is an old-school, like, half-court center for the most part. And while he likes to take threes, he's not really good at it. And so, I don't know if – I think Embiid needs to be in a certain kind of situation maybe to maximize what he is, and I don't know if they have that in Philly.
How do you – if it's Toronto-Milwaukee – what's that look like, and what's that look like for Mark?
That's a good question in terms of Mark. I think the thing I like about Toronto, and they took a little bit of hit with OG Anunoby being out when he had the surgery, so that took one of their versatile defenders away. But they still have Kawhi Leonard, who has been the best defensive player in the world. I don't know whether he is right now, but on any given possession, I think he can be. They have Danny Green, who's an all-NBA caliber defender. They've got Serge Ibaka, who I can't remember whether he won Defensive Player of the Year, but he's been a Defensive Player of the Year contender in the past. They have Marcus Gasol, who's a former Defensive Player of the Year. So they have all these defenders who are sort of versatile, and they can throw different kinds of matchups at a Giannis, and then if they get to the NBA Finals, at a Durant, at a Harden, at a whatever. And that's one of the reasons I like Toronto's upside in the playoffs, because of their ability to defend elite players. But Giannis is sort of, Giannis is like a 6'11", 7-foot, like, positionless, like, freak, right? And so if Milwaukee plays small and he's, like, nominally the center, I don't know if you can put Marc Gasol on Giannis. You sort of want Kawhi on Giannis, but they rely so much on Kawhi to generate their offense. You want him having to D up Giannis all the time?
Right.
I think Serge Ibaka maybe is their best bet. But, like, there's sort of no perfect person there. And if they go small and you can't play Mark on Giannis, then what are you doing with Mark, right?
Right.
In terms of Brook Lopez as their center, he basically just shoots threes. And so if Mark's guarding Brook Lopez, you're not really maximizing what Mark can do defensively if he's just guarding a guy standing out at the three-point line. You want him sort of directing traffic and anchoring the defense down on the block. And so I do think – I think the Philly series is a good series for Mark, at least defensively. I think there's all – Milwaukee would present all kinds of questions about his usage, yes.
All right. People are starting to think about the lottery a little more as it's bearing down upon us.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write on that today. I was going to wait till later in the week, but I'm going to go ahead and put something up today.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple Zion questions. If the Knicks get Zion, would you trade Zion as part of a deal to bring in Anthony Davis? Would you give up Zion as part of a deal to bring in Anthony Davis, provided that you also are bringing in Durant and Kawhi?
Durant and Kawhi?
Not Kawhi, I'm sorry.
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the math and figure out how possible that is. That's a lot of money you're talking about. I don't know if you can do that. Maybe you can. I'd have to look at it. In theory, I think, man, I sort of hate to do it, to trade Zion. But in that specific circumstance, I think you almost have to. As you can put Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis together, and then presumably you have them all under contract for the rest of their primes at this point. You should be a title contender, maybe a title favorite, depending on how you do the rest of the roster, like now and for the next two or three seasons. It's sort of hard to pass that up for an unknown, as tantalizing as that unknown is. When that unknown would be so far away age-wise from your top player, which in this case is Kevin Durant.
What did you think? I mean, the sort of the moral equivalent of this was Wiggins for Kevin Love, right? A little bit. Like, we didn't know that Wiggins was going to turn out to be the mediocrity that he is.
We didn't know that, but even at the time, he was not.
He was not that. But it's a lesser version of that. It's let's put the team together to go around LeBron as opposed to getting the kid, right?
Yeah.
The promising kid. Where were you on that trade at the time?
I don't remember exactly, so it may be that hindsight is filtering in, but I feel like I was okay with that. But part of that is that I was always a big Kevin Love fan, like from day one. And so I was a big believer in Kevin Love. I'm not someone who assumed that Andrew Wiggins, even though he was the number one overall pick, was going to be a better NBA player than Kevin Love. And so I think I was in favor of that from the Cleveland perspective, if I remember correctly. I remember not liking Golden State's refusal to trade for Kevin Love. They had a chance to trade Clay Thompson for Kevin Love and turned it down. And I didn't, at the time, I didn't like that from Golden State's perspective. So I was very high on Kevin Love at that stage of his career.
And then ESPN did this deal where they ranked the various destinations for Zion, and the Grizzlies came in sixth, I think. Grizzlies came in sixth. And Kevin Pelton's comment was, if there's no Mike Conley, he may not have an ideal playmaker to go alongside if he ended up with Zion and Jaren Jackson Jr., and that wouldn't be great for Jaren Jackson Jr. Gary Parrish then asked me, which is a subject you've brought up before, would the presence of Zion change Mike Conley's future in Memphis? And I guess my answer to it was, sure, conceivably, but I don't think that, at least from Mike Conley's perspective, it would be better to have Zion because it would be more fun and you'd be on national TV a lot and more and whatever, but it doesn't accomplish what Mike Conley would want to accomplish, which is to be in the thick of it in some very real way. And so I think they would still, if they could get any kind of a deal that made sense, I still think they could do it. And I don't even think it would be a disaster. Like, let's say it was a Lakers deal that brought back Lonzo Ball. Now, he's not Mike Conley, but if you have Lonzo Ball, Jaren Jackson, and Zion, that's kind of fun, too. Like, there are other ways to do this. What do you think about the Mike Conley? How does it relate to Zion possibly falling to the Grizzlies?
Oh, I think it moves the needle. Whether it moves the needle all the way to changing an outcome, not necessarily. But I think it certainly changes the conversation that is had between the Grizzlies and Mike Conley. I think it probably makes the Grizzlies at least somewhat more interested than they already are in bringing Conley back. It would have to make Conley somewhat more interested in staying. Whether it gets all the way across the finish line, that, I don't know. I certainly think it would not necessarily be the best circumstance for Mike Conley, but it might be better than going to Detroit You know, I mean, you're not going to be the thick of it, I don't think, in every circumstance where you might get traded somewhere. Obviously, no one's traded for Mike Conley if they don't think they're going to be a playoff team. But, you know, that's not making it make some noise. As Conley said, it's not really what he's looking for, and I think that's what you're doing in some of these circumstances. I think ultimately, I think they are likely to move him, and he is likely to sort of, you know, welcome that, even if they get the number one pick. But I think it does change the conversation.
Yeah, and then how do you think of how? I mean, obviously, it would be thrilling, but how do you think Zion would fit in Memphis?
They would do cartwheels and they would celebrate
for a week, yes, right.
And then they would sit down and think, okay, now there are some complications here. Like after the hangover is passed, and you sufficiently celebrated, but the Zion Jaren thing is interesting because I think today they are both nominally power forwards. I think your expectation would be as they evolve, particularly as Jaren Jackson Jr. evolves and the league evolves with them, they will shift into a perfect modern pairing at the 4-5, right? Like maybe that's not the case day one, but that's where you're going to get, and it could be perfect and like really dynamic and great. I think that, you know, that is a relatively minor complication that will evolve over time into something potentially really good. I think where it does raise an issue, and I've talked about this in the show before, I think it's when you were gone, it's mostly with Jeffrey, it really complicates the Jonas Valanciunas question. Not necessarily for next season, like if he opts in or whatever and you have him back, because you got 96 minutes across two front court spots, right? But long term, there's no way you're going to play Jonas Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson, and Zion Williamson all three together, except for in very like minor spot minutes. And so I think it would complicate this idea of extending or making some multi-year commitment to Valanciunas.
Yeah. And then finally, the Grizzlies have a workout today, a draft workout. Marwan Hunter Jr., Anthony Lawrence, Skylar Mays, Matt McQuaid, Juwan Morgan, Josh Reeves, and then they're having another one tomorrow. It is closed. Not just the workout is closed, but also there's no availability connected to it. I mean, you know, they've done that a little bit, and I just don't think they're ready to talk about anything yet, and so that's why they don't want availability connected with the workouts. Don't you think that's why? Or why? I mean, they've historically
any availability is not going to be
about Anthony Lawrence
unless they're only making the players available. Like
right.
The questions aren't going to be you'll have your typical like every year, like there's somebody asking, like, tell me about this guy's future in the NBA. And like they're talking about some guy who's probably not going to play in the NBA. You go through the whole song and dance on that. But the real questions are going to be beyond. It's not going to be about the guys in those workouts. So that is certainly true. To the degree that anyone from the organization is available after a workout, people mostly are not going to be interested in talking to them about Josh Reeves.
Right. My understanding is that they'll talk sometime around the lottery, but they aren't talking basically before now, but between, and then so therefore why would they do it here? I mean, they could make these players available and really who would care?
Right.
I don't, not to disparage any of the players. Who was the single best workout you back in the days, which really didn't make sense for them to let us watch the workouts. It was great, but it didn't make sense. Best workout you saw. And then workout that led you astray the most, that resulted in you having the most wrong opinion about a player.
I honestly don't think. I mean, the best workout I saw was Kevin Love.
Right.
Bring him up again. I don't really can't remember any workout that led me astray necessarily. Maybe Tony Roden. I like Tony Roden in his workout. And
who was the Texas? Who was like the Texas dude that Vernon loved who didn't turn out to be any good? Was that because of a workout? Remember that?
Dan James.
Was he great?
Yeah, he had the dog in him. I mean, he was fine at the workout. He wasn't anything special. He just had the dog in him. But like Tony Roten, I guess, and I still didn't have, like, I didn't like him as much as Draymond Green. And so when I was on the record, I said the Grizzlies should draft Draymond Green. But I did a list that year, and I had Tony Roten second on my list after Draymond Green. And that was partly based on being impressed with him at the workout. And obviously that did not. He did not have a good NBA career. So I guess I could say Roten led me astray, but it didn't lead me so far astray that I wanted the Grizzlies to pick him.
Draymond had a work. Did Draymond work out?
Draymond was great.
He was great in his workout.
He was, yeah. He'd be maybe right after Kevin Love in terms of most impressive that I saw. He was totally great.
That was awesome when they used to. Just awesome. I don't think it made sense for them to, like, why would they let us see their workouts? Like, it was great. I don't know why they would.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I can tell you when the ownership changed and Jason Levien came in, I remember talking to Jason Levien very early on about that, and he seemed very perplexed that the franchise had been letting media come in to see the workout. And so he's the one who changed that, and it never changed back. And I agree with you. Like, I hated that they changed it. But, like, it didn't surprise me, and I didn't blame them. Like, I think he was right to be perplexed. Like, what? No, wait a minute. What? You've been going in and seeing these workouts? He was totally gobsmacked by that when he found out about that.
Yeah, it made no sense.
He'd been an agent, so for him, like, it was like crazy.
Yeah, Chris, thank you very much. We'll look forward. You're going to have something on the lottery tonight. Today? Up? You believe?
Yeah, later today, probably.
Okay, thanks. We will look for that at the Daily Memphian.
Coming up next on The Six.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one question. How are you going to sort out the recruiting stuff? Like, are you just whoever commits first? Like, what's the...
No, it's not.
It's not that. I mean, you have a grand plan. You have a grand plan. You have a... I mean, you got it. It's a puzzle.
It is a puzzle.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's Unicorn Cash on 92.9 FM ESPN. Don't get too horny.
Yeah!
Memphis has unicorn players. 92.9 has unicorn cash. Listen at the top of the hour weekdays for your chance to win a unicorn grand. Because these unicorns shit money.
Yo, no way.
Win $1,000 an hour, every hour, every single weekday from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. It's unicorn cash. You know it. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sponsored by AccountTemps. Don't let summer vacations slow down your important accounting and finance projects. Whether you need help for a day, week, or month, AccountTemps provides highly skilled temporary professionals with the skills you need right when you need them most. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Have some fun with the Tennessee Lottery Instant Games. Play the May Instant Games with top prizes ranging from $5,000 to $500,000. Just stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and pick up Lotteria. Hit the jackpot. All about the bins or extra bonus to play today.
Supercuts, ready to go rituals with Justin Verlander.
I'm obsessed with the number three. I do three sprints to warm up. I use a triple knot on my cleats. I swipe them out three times.
Rituals get Justin Verlander ready to go. Our rituals get you ready to go. Supercuts.
Whatever you're getting ready for, come into Supercuts. Their stylists pay attention to every detail, so you get the haircut you want. And with their signature hot towel finish, you'll walk out clean, sharp, and not just ready, but super ready. Stay ready to go all school year long.
There are few rites of spring more satisfying than the annual deep clean, but many homeowners fail to include their air conditioning system in this ritual. There are a lot of low-priced tune-up offers out there, but your air conditioning system is a big investment, so be sure you're trusting its maintenance to professionals, like Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Since 1970, we've been providing quality service at reasonable prices. Schedule your $95 precision air conditioning tune-up today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
John Martin joins us now. John Martin, of course, every single day from 11 until 2. John, how's it look?
Looks amazing.
It's really, it changes the whole, mood of the room.
Let me ask you this. Are you just saying that because you're a radio professional?
No, I'm being serious. I enjoy, it changes how I feel when I'm in that part of the house. It really does, because the lighting is different. You know what I mean?
When were they installed?
Monday.
They were installed Monday.
Yeah, Monday. They were done.
Professionally done. Did they show up when they said they were going to show up?
Absolutely. Got a call before they came.
Unbelievable. And Sam happy?
Sam thought they were awesome. And my wife is typically, when it comes to things, she is very hard to please. We had a table built. We had a custom table built. I paid for it, of course. And she just does not like it. She complains about it.
Really?
She says it leans. She says it's not level. She's right, but my point is, if she doesn't like something, she won't pretend to.
Right.
She will let me know. And she says these are absolutely awesome.
That's a nice thing in a woman. If she doesn't like something, she won't pretend to. That's good.
I suppose.
That's good.
Almost would rather her pretend she likes everything.
But she's not pretending she likes. She's not Harry Met Sally when she comes to those plantation shutters.
No, she loves them. And,
there you go.
Add value to your home.
They add value to your home. There is your first person testimony. You too, whether it's blind shades or shutters, should contact Chip Wiggins at Affordable Blinds. They call them Affordable Blinds because they are affordable. They are fast. They are the highest quality. The phone number is 753-5822. Head on over to the Facebook page and check it out yourself, the Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page or Affordable Blinds in Memphis.com. Okay, before I get to...
I'm in such a good mood. Don't blow it.
Okay.
When I think about my plantation shutters and my blinds, it puts me in such a great mood.
Before I get to the matter of the crystal balls and all this stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Do you really think, upon reflection, do you really think you were right, get the money back from the person who sold you the fraudulent tickets to Music Fest when, in fact, you were let in anyway?
Yes.
Was she out the money? Anyone who missed this story on Jason John, I don't know how you would have, because you should be locked in every single day. He bought tickets to Music Fest for Sunday.
Aftermarket.
Aftermarket.
Yeah. It's the only thing you could do. They were sold out.
Paid $150, and he was turned away. And the person said, "Where'd you get them from?" You said, "We bought from a friend." And she said, "I'll let you in."
Yes.
I'll be nice.
That is correct.
So there was no harm, no foul.
Well, there could have been.
Right, but there wasn't.
But it was an inconvenience. It was embarrassing.
Do you know, did the woman, and the woman called in, this was a very dramatic episode of your show. She called in, she was tearful, she prayed over it and cried over it.
Yes.
And she don't believe she intended to send you fraudulent.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't know where the miscommunication lied. I don't know what could have happened.
The question is, was she out the 150? In other words, I'm sensing not. Oh, so she just shouldn't profit from the 150. Did everyone agree that you should have gotten your 150 back?
I mean, nobody agrees on anything anymore, right? I mean, it's hard to get people to agree on what color the sky is right now. So you're going to get differences of opinion. But I think the majority of people were with me. You know, some people said you can't let people get away with this. And I don't think she was trying to get away with anything. No, it was just confusion. You know, I think because...
Did you meet her again to get the money back?
No, it was all done. See, you wouldn't know this, but
it was all done PayPal or whatever it's called.
Bitcoin.
Moving on to the subject where you guys are the true authorities. This is why...
It depends on who you ask. We get treated as if we're not by some people.
You are the true authorities. Where are you? All the crystal balls now. Mm-hmm. And I was a little confused on the whole crystal ball thing. The fact that the crystal balls are 100% does not mean people are saying it's 100% Canonis to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
It means that 100% of the people are saying it's Canonis to Memphis. Those are different.
You got it.
Those are different,
right? You got
it,
yeah.
Okay. You have been saying that for roughly, I think, 7 years
I think I actually started it on your show.
On my show. When you were still producer on my show, you said there's this kid.
I wasn't ever a producer on your show.
It was when you were producer. You said there's this kid, Lester Quinones, and someday.
He's in the seventh grade.
Someday he will come to Memphis, and there will be doubters.
Yep.
And there will be people who disparage, and there will be people who take shots. There will be people who do not believe. But in the end.
Yes.
Come Friday at 4.
That's right.
Lester Quinones will say Memphis.
Yes.
How's he going to do it?
Do
we know?
I mean, I'm assuming, you know.
Bitcoin?
What?
By Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoin is a currency, Jeff.
Right. Yeah, okay. Can't leave a paper trail either.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, what are you suggesting
here? Is he going to do it?
I mean, he's going to commit. He's just going to, what do you mean, how's he going to do it? He's going to get, I'm assuming there will be a table like this one. And
Is it going to be live streamed? Is it going to be, I'm just wondering, in the world, there's lots of different ways. Some people just throw it up on the internet, right? I'd like to announce that I'm going to Memphis.
He's having a ceremony, so I'm sure it'll probably be Instagram Live somewhere. Maybe some kind of ESPN Family of Network deal will carry it. I don't know.
How good is he?
Really good. He's a top 50 player. You know, this is a big time kid. I mean, he's a great shooter. 6'5", so he's got some size to him, you know, can defend, versatile. You know, he's absolutely what this team needs. You know, he's just another shooter. You know, another guy you can have out there to surround James Wiseman with.
Can he play with Tyler Harris?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. And this is the first domino.
I think it's the first domino.
How about Boogie?
How about him? What do you want to know about Boogie?
I want to know where things stand with
Boogie. Well, as you know, 3 seconds after he was released from his letter of intent, I broke the news that Memphis would be heavily involved. They are heavily involved.
It's uncanny, your ability to predict the future.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just don't know how does he get this? How does he get so many things right? It's crazy. I don't know anything. I think Memphis is the favorite. I think they're the leader for Boogie Ellis. I would, you know, that's how I felt since he got his release.
Let's be honest. It's not like Ayla, where we knew exactly when he got out of Wichita State to come to Memphis.
Exactly.
It was public. We knew exactly why publicly, but it was locked in. It was done.
Yeah, it was in his letter of intent statement from Greg Marshall.
Right. But do you believe in a certain way that Boogie did not get out of Duke to open up his commitment to look at everyone, but in fact got out of his letter, his commitment to Duke to go to Memphis?
I think there's definitely an element of that for sure. I mean, I think you look at the Memphis situation and they've got basically everything except a point guard. Like, I mean, you know, Alex Lomax got benched last year. Let's just call it what it is. You know, like You can't go into next season and say Alex Lomax is 100% the point guard. Like, you just can't do that. So you look at sort of needs on this team. What do they need? They need an elite point guard. And that's what Boogie Ellis can be. You know, he's a top 30 player. Great scorer. Calls himself the best shooter in the country. Okay. I mean, I love this kid's personality. You know? Okay. And, so I think, you know, with 2 weeks left, right, at the time when he got his release, with 2 weeks left in the signing period, you're not opening up your recruitment. I mean,
right. When are we gonna find out about Boogie? Time frame.
I mean, I would think honestly within the next, you know, week and a half. I mean, I think
within the next week.
Yeah, I think that's
we'll
fair.
Be sitting here when you come back here next week. They will have both. Your prediction is that they will have both Lester and Boogie under wraps.
What's today?
Today's Wednesday.
What's the date though?
Today is Wednesday. It is possible.
It may not happen when we are sitting across from each other, but I think maybe by the end of that day, there will definitely be a resolution.
You're nailing this down. It's going to be next Wednesday?
No, I'm not saying it's going to happen next Wednesday. I'm saying
it's uncanny.
I want to give myself that room though.
Plus people.
Give me till the end of next week. Give me till the end of next week. I don't.
Okay.
I don't want to sit here and look stupid. I've looked so right on everything
else. And then what does that do for when is Tucker?
He told me on Sunday he would make his decision in about a week. And
so by this time next week, three will be in the fold. By the end of next week, all three of those dudes will be in the fold?
I mean, let me just back up on Boogie. I don't have a timetable for him. That's the one thing I don't have with him. Like, I know Drew Hill reported something when he got his release that he would make his decision soon. Boogie told Rivals that he would make his decision in 1 or 2 weeks. I don't have that directly from him. So on that part, I am speculating, but I am assuming that given that we are coming up to the end of the signing period, he will make his decision.
When is the end of the signing period?
It's next Wednesday. It's next Wednesday. It's the 15th. So I'm assuming he will have made his decision by then, but again, I cannot be sure of
that. So you think all three? Tucker, too, by next Wednesday?
I think Tucker, as of Sunday, says he's going to make a decision about a week. So I think, but yes, by this time next week, for sure, we'll know on Tucker.
All three of those will be in Memphis?
I feel good about Lester and Boogie. Like, I feel really good about them. I feel less confident in Rajon, but I know that Memphis feels good about Rajon. So that's kind of like, you know, and sometimes, right.
Where else is he going?
He's got Auburn, Kansas, West Virginia. And there's one more, Iowa State. You know, you look at Auburn, they're having to replace a couple guards. Kansas is very desperate. Like, they have to get a guy like him. They took a top 50 forward last night. Shouldn't really impact Rajon. But, you know, and again, you're talking about Kansas. Like, you're a guy who was at Little Rock, you know, and you're...
You can go to Kansas.
You know what I mean? Like, there's prestige there.
Right.
There's no question about it. But, you know, where can you play with James Wiseman? Only at Memphis. You got 1 year left. I don't know how how good Kansas is going to be next year. In fact, I don't think they're going to be that good. I mean, relative to how good Kansas has been the last 10 years. You know?
Okay. So we're going to lock those three. We're saying those three are coming.
I heard
what you said. You said you feel good about two and whatever. But I'm just going to pretend those three are coming. Okay, just for fun.
That's totally fair.
And then is that basically than R.J. Hampton. If we're going by crystal balls, the crystal balls are now saying R.J. Hampton to Kansas.
Yeah, now, so on R.J. Hampton, if you guys have listened to our show.
I listen every single day.
R.J.
I listen for fraud. I'm mostly on the lookout for fraudulent ticket sellers. I do it as a public service.
Stay vigilant. We tried to let you guys down easy on R.J.
Right.
We tried to say with R.J., that's who Memphis has the most work to do with. Simply because the way that the roster is just lined up, we didn't know that R.J. was 100% reclassifying until last week. Like, we thought, okay, good chance. And really, we didn't think there was a good chance until last month. That's when it started to feel like. And by then, you've already invested, 6 months in Lester right. Quiñones? You've already invested all that time you invested in Boogie Ellis, and now he's available?
RJ's going to Kansas.
I just think the way the roster is shaped up. And
Precious? What's the timing on Precious?
I think after Lester Quiñones makes his announcement, you'll hear something very soon about Precious.
We could very well, by next week, have all four in the fold.
I think that is definitely a possibility. Absolutely.
That's insanity.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if they get those four in the fold, they're done.
Yes.
What kind of team is that?
It's a top 10 team, probably not a top 5, but a top 10 team, and anything less than a Sweet 16 will be considered a failure. It just will be. I mean, you can use the word disappointment if you want to take the edge off of it a little bit, but it will be a failure, and it will not. I mean, listen, it will not be a good thing for Memphis or Penny Hardaway if that team, if it looks like that, doesn't make a Sweet 16. If James Wiseman and Lester Quiñones,
any of those dudes bolt? Do any of the current players bolt upon seeing what's coming in?
Not now. They won't. No, I don't think anybody's going to transfer other than David Wingett.
Right.
Until the season starts and somebody's unhappy. Yeah. I think there will be absolutely some December transfers. Of course.
What's the dude's name from UAB? The guy.
Ryan Boyce. He's not on a scholarship.
How's he feeling, though? Ryan Boyce feeling about things? He thought he was going to go on college scholarship. He wanted to come to the school, his home school, and everything else.
I feel for him a little bit because, he had a scholarship. Like, he was going to actually play at UAB, And frankly, he could still probably do that. They would probably crawl over broken glass to get him back at UAB. And that's what you kind of have to decide if you're him. Okay, do I want to play somewhere and have a career and actually produce and have a scholarship, or do I just want to be along for the ride at Memphis with my coach, from East High School? I mean, that's kind of the decision for him, which I won't fault him for either one of them.
John, I just want you to know that I appreciate every single day, straight up 11 o'clock, locked in.
That's right.
Listening to recruiting information.
Thank you, man. 11 to 2.
And it is good to get it from, and it's all coming true. Here's the thing. Everything you've said is coming true.
Well, I appreciate that. And nothing's happened yet.
I actually mean that. I'm half kidding, but I actually do mean that. Like, it all seems to be coming true.
Yeah, I mean, and Trenton Watford, I think I said it on your show first. I gave you the scoop that Memphis was sort of prioritizing the Lester and Trent Precious duo as opposed, just given what they thought was
possible.
Do
you have the penny drop from yesterday? Did you hear the penny drop from yesterday? Here's the penny drop from yesterday. This is what Penny said about the whole thing.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one question. How are you going to sort out the recruiting stuff? Like, are you just whoever commits first? Like, what's the...
No, it's not.
It's not that. I mean, you have a grand plan.
It is a puzzle. It's a puzzle. So I wouldn't say whoever commits first because it's a grand puzzle.
Are you feeling good about it?
I'm feeling really good about it.
There you go.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Experience the difference of a Spartan mower. Spartan not only looks amazing on and off the lawn, it's packed with standard features like GT Track for precision traction, balance and control, with optional features like radial front tires and an all-new 360 floating seat for an incredibly comfortable ride. Take command of your yard. Take command of your time. Take command of your life by joining one of the fastest growing mower companies in the world, Lads, for your zero turn and golf car needs.
Let's up your life with Let's. Let's up your life.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. One of the first things clients ask me is, what is my case worth? It depends on the injury, liability, and damages. And in most cases, it depends on the lawyer you hire. All lawyers are not the same. I would like to invite you to visit ForThePeople.com to see what your case might be worth. You will see injuries like yours, offers made by the insurance company, and verdicts made by juries. We try more cases than any firm in America every year, and that's important. Insurance companies know which law firms try cases and which firms settle cheap. Your case value is different in the hands of different lawyers. There was only one Babe Ruth, and then hundreds and hundreds of minor league players. I've been around now a long time, fought countless battles. We are fighters who take on giants. In some cases, you hired your lawyer without doing your research, and you can just as quickly fire them if you now think you made a mistake. You only get one swing at the plate. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, I'm here to welcome you to exceptional service. With over 20 years in business in the Memphis area, Inman Murphy knows how to take care of your termite, pest, and mosquito needs. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. And find out why we have over 2,500 five-star reviews just in the last couple of years. Check us out on the web at Inman-Murphy.com or Facebook/InmanMurphy.
Hi, this is James Gaddis at James Gaddis Jewelers. Mother's Day is the perfect time to say thank you to your first friend, your best friend, and your forever friend. Say it with a beautiful piece of jewelry from James Gaddis Jewelers. Choose from our extensive collection of diamonds, precious jewels, and designer pieces, personally selected by me. We want to be your family's jeweler for any and every occasion. So stop by and let us know how we can be of help to you. Centrally located at 4900 Poplar, James Gaddis Jewelers.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays from 9 till 11 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis. A radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.